Yo, yo,
Hey, Slim, what's up, man?
hey, what's going on?
I'm Tom from You Know I Got Soul here. Good to talk to you again.
Oh man, great seeing you again, man.
How's everything?
Oh man, blessing, man. Just staying safe, quarantining, and reflecting, just been recording, doing a lot of collaborations while I'm here.
Awesome.
And man, it's just been amazing, Man, I definitely miss the fans, though. I definitely miss the stage, but this right here definitely requires us to be a little bit more creative.
Right.
So,
Awesome.
yeah.
Where are you recording from right now? I see all the plaques in the background.
Well, actually, I'm recording right here. I have my own setup, studio setup,
Oh,
and
it's your home?
yes, this is my house.
Oh,
Yeah, this
nice,
is where we're
nice.
recording.
Awesome.
So yeah, anytime I usually do like a interview. Depending on what it is, like if I'm about to play some music or something like that, like new music or whatever, I'll probably go to the studio. But
Gotcha.
here's where I, do the interviews.
Dope, dope. First, I want to say shout out to the producer Guitar Boy for setting this interview up and connecting us. We appreciate him. We're gonna have him
Oh,
on
yeah.
later in the week for an interview. Much respect to him.
Oh, yes. That's my brother right there. We're doing like, we've definitely locked in and been doing a lot of projects. Like he has something real big that's happening that's dropping to midnight right
Oh,
now.
wow.
It's on the hip hop side. You know what I mean? I'm a little jealous. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? I'm a little jealous because we're trying to close this deal and this man is over here.
Dope, dope. Well, Slim, let me just say this. On behalf of R&B lovers everywhere, on behalf of our site, we want to thank you for keeping the 112 brand alive and keeping it moving. We appreciate that and respect that.
Oh, thank you. That's 112 forever. And we've been doing this for like 24 years. And one thing, it's ironic that it's like if I was to start a movie, if I was to start a movie like about 112, I would definitely sit the more original members of that later becomes 112. We were in Mike's grandma's crib. And we all watched the Five Heartbeats all together, and we went through it, and we saw all of the stuff that they went through, and at that time, we're looking at each other and saying, "Oh, that'll never happen to us." Well, literally, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy that this is the industry, and I understand that now. I used to take things very, very personally, but I understand now.
I
Like
got you.
it's okay.
Well, we're glad you're keeping it moving, and we know you've been working on some new music, you and Mike. Can you tell us about what you've been working on?
Oh yeah, so we've been in the studio. We've been in the studio now. I know people have been hearing me and Mike talk about doing an EP. We've been working on an EP, but we like to do things organically. We don't like to force anything because it's not like we're signed to a major deal or whatever. So we don't have to answer to anybody. We could do it however we want to. However, same ethics apply. We want to make sure that it's the best representation of the brand 112 as possible, and we want to give y'all the best project that we can. You know what I'm saying? So yes, we have been we started, then we stopped, and then because all this crazy stuff that's happening here with the virus, we really had to put the brakes on things or whatever. First, it was because we were doing a lot of shows, and then this one now. It's because of this situation. So kind of like taking advantage of the situation in a sense. But we've definitely been working on that. It's been a wild ride.
We're looking forward to it, man. I gotta ask though, you've recorded, with the group, four members, you've recorded solo material. What's the difference with recording now with two members?
Well, you know what? The obvious difference is that you're dealing with different voices. You have different voices and different personalities. You have different ideas, so might be a little task sometimes. This one, with myself, it's much more streamlined. It's very easy for me to lock onto a sound. Like great example, I can lock in. Like Guitar Boy will play tracks, right? He'll play tracks. We'll talk things out. He'll say, "Hey, what do you want this track to sound like? Or what do you want to talk about?" You know what I mean? So I'm blessed to have a team of writers. You know what I mean? Me and Guitar Boy have put together a team of writers, producers, engineers, Man, we got mixers. Oh my God, we have everything. So where I'm basically running a real label here,
right?
And you know, in a sense, you know, it's like with myself, I don't want to compromise what I stand for, you know, with the brand, you know, with the brand, with 112, you know, it's how what we talk about the subjects. We want to make sure that they're very, very relatable,
mm-hmm.
and you know, so I still do that with the same mind frame as I'm very current. You
right.
know what I'm saying? You know, as with 112, you know, 112 don't really pay attention to the more currency side type of situations. That it's more about the what you're talking about and how it comes across.
Right. Got you. You know, I got to ask, you know, we try to stay clear of all the drama and negativity. We just like to promote positive about the R&B and artists. Was there ever time when you thought about, you know, adding new members, replacing the two members who left? Because, you know, a lot of the most legendary groups of all time, they've had lineup changes and gone through changes. Was that ever under consideration?
Yes. I mean, well, you know, everything's on the table when something's thrown at you, you know. Speaking for myself, this was like a real game changer. You know, I wasn't expecting this.
Mm.
You know, I just looked at it in a sense of, you know, if I put myself in the role, a role of a CEO, like let's say this was Puff, or you know, say if this was Russell Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, is this like what am I trying to do here? You know what I'm saying? And I looked at the sense of, you know, with 112, and I look at the legacy of 112, regardless of what goes on, you know what I mean? I wanted to keep the whole legacy of the group the way it's supposed to be. So even though there were very strong multi-platinum acts who wanted to be in 112.
Really?
Oh yeah. if I wanted to go that way, I really wanted to do it that way, this maybe, I don't know, if the people that you all knew that wanted to be in 112 would have replaced them, I wonder if people would have tripped.
Wow.
But I didn't want to take that chance. So what I did was, and my respects to the former members, I wanted to keep it that way. Any songs that we've done in the past, I wanted to keep it that way so that the fans would definitely remember Q Mike Slim to Run. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm the one that made the chant. Q Mike Slim to Run. I was doing that on purpose. You know what I mean? 112.
Yeah.
It was a form of branding. You know what I mean? And I'm heavily into that. And I'm dead serious about that. So just like my brother Mike has his tattoos of 112 on his skin, I want to make sure that I could do whatever in my power to keep that sonically, you know, that sonically, musically sound alive. You know what I'm saying? So I kept it that way, and I'm glad that I did it that way.
That's great. I'm gonna be thinking all night who those members are that wanted to join, multi-platinum artists trying to join one spot.
Well, in its perfect time, whether it be a movie or a book, you all know.
All right, dope. Hey, man, you know, we just spoke to the producer, Tim from Tim and Bob, for an interview, and he was telling us the story of how, you know, you became the lead singer of 112 and how Puffy wanted you to be the lead singer. Can you retell that story and how you remember that happening?
Well, you know, that was a wild situation because that's like a chapter in a book. Well, you know, if anybody knew, you know, us, you know, prior to us getting a record deal, you know, the structure of 112 was a little different. Mm-hmm. The great thing about 112 is the fact that we had four lead singers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you had four lead singers, and our situation, we wanted to be the group that was not a one trick pony.
Right.
No offense to any other group. You know what I mean? They're known for the one little thing and that one little trick. You know what I'm saying? So we wanted to, whoever step up to the plate, it was their situation. They will perform and perform explosively well.
Right.
Well, in the case of this situation, you know, Mike and Duran, pretty much they, you know, Mike starts the group. He started the group. Amazing voice, amazing talent. He, you know, I know him 13 or 14. He still had that manly voice.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, at that time, if you think about the early 90s, you know what I mean? The sound was different from what it is now. You know, you had the strong, soulful singers like Casey from Jodeci, you know, my boy from Blackstreet. Yeah, no, not Black.
David Hollister.
You know what I mean? You had real soulful singers. And then you had singers like Stokely from Mint Condition. You know what I mean? Like, so you would see the comparisons with Mike and you know what I'm saying, Mike and Duran. You know what I mean? Well, when once we got to the group, once we got to Bad Boy, Puff had a different vision, and I'm glad he did this because he created Jodeci. So
yeah.
He didn't want us to sound like another Jodeci. He wanted us to sound like 112.
Right.
So that being said, you know, he saw that I had a different voice. I had a very unique voice, and an amazing situation. The fact that even before we got there, Tim and Bob, we were working with them before, and they were kind of on me then. You know what I'm saying? Like they were basically saying, you know, that I need to definitely learn my voice. And I thought they thought that I would be an X factor in the group.
Right.
Well, come to find out that they were dead on. And Puff, when Puff, you know, decides to, you know, say, hey, this is the way it's going to rock, regardless of egos or however anybody feels or whatever. Well, thank God, you know, we listened to him because, I mean, 27 million records and Grammys and stuff like that later, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is a blessing. We don't sound like any other group. Can't make a comparison or whatever. You know, it just, you know, we just honed on what we are very good at. Four lead singers with a guy that has a unique voice, and we definitely concentrated on backgrounds, and we want to be known as writers and producers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, with the same strength.
And that's not something all groups could say. You did it all, vocally, writing, production. Most groups didn't have all those aspects, and you guys definitely were bringing that, all the members. An amazing thing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I played a game. I had played a game with myself because I've been looking at the social media, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, like they love to see like the comparison or showdown between us and a Jagged Edge, or whatever, right? So people, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, people, you know, because we're not, our personalities aren't the most aggressive, you know what I'm saying, situations. So we're not going to go out here and say and beat our chest like a gorilla and say, hey, I'm the best, blah, 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 right? But you know what I'm saying? I said, you know what? I kind of forgot, you know what I'm saying, of how, you know, what we've done in the industry. So I gave myself like a 5-minute quiz, like, what songs did 112 not just, you know, just sung on the track? Anybody can do that. Like, here we go. Like, I got a record right here, right? This is Monica.
Yep.
That's Monica right there. We did a duet, you know what I'm saying, with Monica. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about songs that we actually wrote and produced, you know what I mean, on their albums. And I said, let's see if I can write it down in 5 minutes, right? Man, and what kind of list do I have? Here we go. 112's catalog in 5 minutes, and I'm still missing people. Here we go. We got Pink, Total, Soul For Real, Kelly Price, Faith, Tevin Campbell, Ron Isley, Gina Thompson, New Edition, LSG, Allure, Notorious B.I.G., LL Cool J, David Guetta, that's with Luda and Usher, Pitbull, Frankie J, Mobb Deep, P. Diddy, Mace, Keisha Cole, Tory Lanez, Jamie Foxx, and Kevin Little.
No one even
this is
close.
Amazing.
I mean, that's legendary. That's legendary stuff.
Right? Oh, yeah. So what's crazy is, anybody try to, you know what I'm saying, deal with 112 on that type of situation and versus, you will have to deal with that catalog.
Man, that's epic, man. You know what I got to say, though? You brought up Jagged Edge. We commented recently, when you guys came together with Jagged Edge a few years ago, not only did you have the song on your album together, that you guys did together, which was an epic song, but you guys were doing shows together. You guys were performing each other's songs. I thought that was such a big moment for R&B that people didn't really appreciate. That you guys were coming together, because artists don't come together like this too often. Man, I just
Now,
so much.
Let it be understood. Us, Jagged Edge, we are brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, this goes before record deals or anything like that. We've known each other, you know, Q and Wingo, they're best friends. You know what I'm saying? Me and Kyle, obviously we, you know what I'm saying? I've known him before, you know what I mean? And the twins were like, just 112 all together, we're brothers. And we always talked about working together. You know, it is a, it's kind of put out there that 112 and Jagged Edge definitely changed sound sonically in our era, in our generation. So I can understand why people like putting us with each other or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So it's I get it, but we are definitely brothers and we wanted to work together, and you know what I mean, and we and you know, it is like a small competition thing, so we bring out the best in each other. So you won't see like anytime you see a 112 and Jagged Edge show, you're gonna see an amazing show, because it's not, it's one thing to impress the fans, but you know, nobody likes to go backstage and know that one group got the better of each other. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty epic, man. But we just love how you guys came together. I mean, the song on your guys' album that you did together was amazing. I love that song, you know?
Absolutely amazing. The record is entitled Both of Us.
Yeah, Both
and,
of Us.
Yeah, and it's crazy because we wanted to do a record where both of us can relate. We're always on the road. We're out there, you know. You know, we're older, so, you know, you have relationships and situations like that. And we understand, like, with women, if you don't, you understand women, you have to reassure them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All times. You have to reassure them. I don't care if they know the answer. Just reassure them. You know, it makes everything sweeter, right? So, want to write a record where, you know, it's like we're talking to ourselves. It's like the music is our own medicine. But at the same time, you can take out our faces and put yourselves in the song. Yeah. We all have a job. You have a job. So if you have a significant other, they know, like, they have to, you know, you have to go off. You have to interview people. You have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to do your job. And that might require you to be away from anybody can relate to this. And, you know, and you just reassuring your woman, you can press play and boom.
Yeah. Matt. Love it. You know, I got to say, I'm in awe of those plaques behind you while I'm doing this interview, man. I love seeing that because it's all history behind you. Is there a one song album, you know, that you worked on or that's most special to you? You know, any particular reason? One of them that stands out to you? I see the Room of 12 album right there, you know.
Okay. Well, let's see. Well, this one right here. See, these plaques and stuff too, mind you, these plaques are like actually older than my son's actually. So that was our first album right there.
Wow.
I think it went up to be like 2 or 3 million records or something like that. But right here, this one right here is the one that starts it all. You know, we were blessed to come out the gate, you know, first one, look at this, Only You featuring the Notorious B.I.G. Right. And then do a remix. So now we bring in Mace and it becomes epic. That's one, you know, one situation. Most groups are, you know, or artists are very happy with that one. We were blessed to have three records on that made major impacts. And then the third single, Cupid, is the one that shoots it over the top and makes it go multi-platinum.
Man.
Now, this album right here, the second album, Room 112, absolutely amazing. We start stepping up our the production and the writing on the on albums, and you know, it kind of birthed a very, very strong writer, and I love giving him his credit where credit is due, because he's actually carrying on the sound and the tradition of 112 and himself, and that's Pooh Bear. So
nice.
Pooh Bear, you know, at the time, I think he was like 14 or 15 when he had pinned his first number one record here.
That's wild.
And that made it, you know, that made the record go into multi-platinum status. Now, here, this one, I'm missing. Okay, oh, well, that's our platinum. I need to get a bigger one, but I don't have no space on the wall, so I just chose the smaller one. And then this, it shows that we were number one. We debuted at number one on both charts or whatever, right? So that one right there was our, that was a big blessing. We ran the tables, three number one joints on one album when Peaches and Cream exploded. But people forget, like, before Peaches and Cream, there was It's Over Now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that record right there, how we really, really wanted to tie in hip-hop and R&B mm-hmm. at its finest. You know what I mean? Big shouts out to Mobb Deep. Those are our brothers right there. Rest in peace, Prodigy. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to combine the records together, you know, and then it definitely made magic. And then we had Peaches and Cream, and then we had Dance With Me. Very, very world strong records. I think Peaches and Cream was in the Guinness Book of World Records, most played urban song ever.
Wow.
And we held that spot for years until y'all know it's 50 Cent came out with In the Club. You know, that was going to. So then we have the fourth album. That was a blessing. You know, that was a blessing in that situation where we actually wanted to experiment and go like and touch the international side. You know, that's when Duran took more of the reins. Now, I will make a personal statement right here.
Uh-oh.
Kind of wish that we can listen to people that were in the label or whatever. And but, you know, that's the growing pains of, you know, I mean,
interesting,
you know, what I'm saying, learning things or whatever, you know. But thank God to our fans, you know, because, they, you know, we have some very cult 112 fans, even though that should have been labeled a failure in 112 standards. It was a blessing because the album still went platinum. But, you know, if you did the mathematical standards, you know, Def Jam spent millions of dollars to even make it do that. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we didn't have a record. You see, I'm very transparent, so I don't cuff anything here. We didn't have any record that charted in the standard of 112.
Mm.
So then, you know, we took it personal. On our fifth album, do I have it?
Pleasure and Pain.
Pleasure and Pain. I don't have that plaque. I don't have that plaque. I should, because it's
a great comeback. That was a great album.
That was an amazing album. On our fifth album, you know, we took it very, very personal. And this time, what we had to do was we learned that, you know, we had to keep the same type of a vibe where we work with everybody. And, you know, it's not about being selfish and standing in one circle or whatever. We start spreading our wings and start writing with other art producers and stuff like that. And here we go. Mm-hmm. We run into Focus, who's one of the producers of Dr. Dre. Big shouts out to Focus. That's the homie. And on the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? And got together with this young writer, you know what I mean? Very, very, man, he was very passionate in his work. Man, he now, y'all know him as Sean Garrett.
The pen.
And we penned a lot of records, you know what I'm saying, on that album. And that record ended up being, the song was You Already Know. Absolutely amazing yeah. record, which brought us back in the place to where we're supposed to be. That look what I'm saying. The fifth top 10, it's a fifth, on the fifth multi-platinum album, you have the first single. You have the first single, and that single goes platinum, and it's a top five. I don't know what it was, but it was a blessing. And then, you know, and we were back at the Stratosphere where we were supposed to be. So it's definitely a blessing.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
song,
I got stories for days standing in here, you know. It's like
legendary,
crazy.
Legendary legacy, no doubt. Multiple, yo, I see the original Puffy album there.
Yeah.
Faith Evans album I saw.
Yeah, and this one right here definitely is strong right here. This is Life After Death.
Oh, wow.
Right here. Now, right here, you could tell this old. That one says 6 million, and everybody knows that bad boy is well over diamond status or whatever. 112, we were blessed to have three. We were blessed to have three records. Duran produced I'm Loving You Tonight featuring R. Kelly.
Hmm.
He was from Notorious B.I.G. And we did Sky's the Limit and Missing You, which was like the foundation of the now Missing You off of this joint right here. Oh, man, that's that bad boy. That's old, too. That bad boy say 6 million. That's a diamond record, too.
Wow.
These bad boys. Oh, well, I need to upgrade.
I'll see, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff, yeah. Man. Yeah. What was the first record you guys were on as a group? Was that your own album, or were you featured anywhere before that?
Oh, no, that was the first one. Now, I mean, as artists, that was our first one. But, you know, we were blessed to, before our album came out, we wrote and produced multi-platinum records before we even dropped.
Wow.
Case in point. So you have, here we go. Total.
Yeah.
Right. This is the first one right here, man. Like, so we had a total, you have, wrote, I spearheaded a record called, what was that record? Kisses Taste Like Honey. Like, oh, we even hear me actually singing singing the sample over, and, wrote it. And the young guy, now we now know now to be, is Pharrell, who did the beat.
Wow, that was kind of wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one. And then we have Pink.
Yeah. I remember
right
that.
Here. You know what I'm saying? So 112 writes and produced the third single of her joint. Let's see. Who else came out before? I'm missing Plax too, because I'm missing LSG, New Edition. You don't have to worry. Oh yeah, we wrote with Allure, but that came out. They came out when. Yeah, that's you're hearing Guitar Boy trying to help me put these things together. But yeah, like we had like records we had work, you know, and people that we had wrote with or whatever. So absolutely amazing. Oh man. I see a fan that says something about Frankie's album. Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's a real strong fan here. That record didn't, that album didn't really come out like it was supposed to. How did that album, when it came out, straight up? First of all, he was probably one of the first artists to have Mary J. Blige, Faith, 112. It was the whole album was produced by Booker. Not Chucky Booker. Oh my God, this is gonna drive me crazy. Oh my God, forgive me, King. But he produced the whole. He produced the whole album. He had, and yeah, P. Diddy on the joint. This was an amazing album. So you know, I wish it would have came out the way it's supposed to, or whatever. But you know, whatever happened. But yeah, it was a blessing. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, oh my goodness. It's just bringing back old memories. You know what I'm saying? The first album. Mm-hmm. We were on that. I think Faith's second album. Well, we had wrote Caramel Kisses.
Yeah.
I think that came out after 112. You know what I'm saying? Our first album. But I'm trying to find people. You know what I'm saying? Even Kelly Price.
Kelly
you know
Price
what
I'm saying? I saw three, that one too. Yeah.
Three records on her. But I think she came out afterwards. Yeah, she came out afterwards. But like I said. It's a blessing that, you know, we were doing what we set off to do, you know, before, you know, we had came out with an album. So always remember with 112, our whole goal wasn't just to be the number one R&B singing group. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We wanted to be sort of like who we look up to, Full Force. You have Full Force, you know what I'm saying? Anybody knows about Full Force, y'all know that they have hits within themselves, but they pen a lot of records that went worldwide. Anybody knows that they were writing Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and Britney Spears records that, you know what I mean, everybody around the world were singing and had no idea that, you know what I mean, you had, you know... Full Force writing these records. Another group we look up to is New Edition. Mm. Well, New Edition is there are groups within groups that have platinum situations inside of each other. Right. You see what I'm saying? So there will be no Boyz II Men without a Michael Bivins. You know what I'm saying? Or exactly. East Coast Family. You know, you got BBD who are multi platinum inside of a New Edition. You have look at all these multi platinum artists. Bobby Brown, Johnny Gill, Raph Trashvant. This is wild.
Yeah.
BBD,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just when you start feeling yourself, when you're thinking, oh, man, I cornered one situation, Obviously, that's not good enough because you have older groups that we look up to and we wouldn't dare compare ourselves to right. that. You know, I definitely push the button. So, you know what I'm saying? Right. Big shout out to our OGs.
Love it. Thank you so much for taking us down memory lane here, man. We love hearing the history behind, you know, some of your guys' biggest hits and who you worked on and your guys' albums too, man. Such a legendary legacy you guys have created, man. It's amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. I really appreciate y'all. And, you know, our book, the book of 112 isn't over. And this is what I want to tell everybody, too. You know, 112 is not about the four guys that y'all see. You know what I'm saying? Like the four guys that y'all, you know, you've been familiar with around the world. 112 is a brand. It's a brand just like how we looked at it, like with the Temptations, the OJs, the Beatles, Boyz II Men, Jodeci. Whereas, you know, they might not even have the same members in the group or whatever. But one thing you can't change is legacy. So that's what we work so hard to be. And remember our goals. Our goals were to be not only the most successful R&B singing group, but we wanted to be the best writers, you know, inside of a group, the best producers inside of a group. You know what I mean? So in that situation where, you know, when you start making comparisons as far as groups are concerned, you know what I'm saying? You have to see exactly what we were trying to do. Right. Did we actually put our footprint in that situation? And what did we do to transcend one era to the next so that the next group does the same thing and take it even higher? Mm. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's a challenge to all groups that are coming out. You know what I mean? If you just want to sing and you want to sing over some hard, you know, some hot beats or whatever, and think that's going to make you successful and make you stand, you know, as you know, just it makes you solid. That's not good enough. being the best at everything you can push yourself to, push it to the next level.
Yeah.
See yourself as the CEO, the next CEO. See yourself as the next P. Diddy.
Yeah.
The next anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like that's pushing the level. And know this too, brand yourself, own yourself, just, you know what I mean, be your own boss. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, everything lies on you. You know what I mean? And I seen that for myself. Right. That's one thing I've learned in this whole thing of this industry. You know, things come up. Life happens. Like, who would have thought that, you know, the guys that I grew up with, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, will break up not one time, yeah. but two times.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But guess what? Life isn't fair. So what? What are you going to do about it? Like, so the first time when they did that, I felt like I was thrown under the bus. Mm-hmm. Usually they blame the lead singer. The lead singer had absolutely nothing to do with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but what did I do? I believed in myself. Got the guys that were day one with me, put together a label, went out and made history. First R&B act or R&B person to start up a label at Asylum Records. There was nothing but rappers.
Mm.
And then take over that situation, drop the first single, and it ended up being one of the biggest independent records of probably. I had a top five platinum single with So Fly, and you know what I'm saying, the album sells six figures. So that's why I say, like, you have to, at the end of the day, you got to take lemons and make lemonade. Right. And you know what I'm saying? So here we go again. We're faced with this dilemma, right? You got two guys that, you know what I mean, God bless them, want to do exactly what they want to do. Okay, that's great, right? We respect them. It's all great. So what are we going to do about it? But guess what? One thing I learned, even when I was having a successful solo career, mm-hmm. there were people that wanted to hear, everybody around the world, they were saying, man, Good Lovin', that's great, Slim. Oh, the record you did with Ryan, working with Ryan Leslie, that's good. Oh, So Fly, oh, man, you got a huge record. That's good. We still want to talk about 112.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Amazing. You know what I'm saying? So I took it upon my own to be the CEO, take over all situations, learn from P. Diddy. I sat down while I was in Florida, and we sat down. He told me something, like, a lot of good things.
Just dope.
So I'm applying it. And you know what I'm saying? Thank God, you know what I'm saying, it's working the correct way. I appreciate all the fans. I appreciate you for giving us a platform, too, because, you know, we don't usually have a platform like the rappers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You do a mix. Man, how many R&B mixtapes that are put in the forefront of, you know, of the world? You know what I mean? So we have to depend on people that are standing for R&B.
Yep.
And you know what I mean? And here's the challenges to the fans, you know, in the different genres. Like right now, I'm working on a couple. I'm working on writing and actually putting out records in the country genre.
Mm.
Working with Blanco. Blanco has been over here. Blanco Brown, he's been doing his thing. Jimmy Allen, he's been doing his thing. I'm working with them. And one thing I learned, I see with them, that their fans are diehard fans. And they, and it's like they really, really, like the older they get, yeah, the more fanatic they are. You know what I mean? The bigger that artist is, you know what I mean? And it's absolutely amazing. So I'm looking at the R&B fans, and I'm saying, I'm challenging you.
Yeah.
You know, to actually support our real R&B music. I'm not just talking about 112. You all see big brands like Case just came out. I wrote a record with Case. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so many people that's out here doing their thing. You know, as I see, like, Boyz II Men put out something that's absolutely amazing. You know what I'm saying? Man, they sold over 100 million records. Those fans, we're still alive. And we got more money. We got more money than the kids that we're giving so that, you know, they're allowed to stream. We should be able to, you know what I'm saying? We should be able to support the same artist, you know what I'm saying? We're going to continue to give it to you the same way. So we're still doing arenas. We're still doing shows. Keep up with us. Just like go under the Ticketmaster when everything opens up. Let me just say that now.
Yeah.
When everything opens up, you know, look at Ticketmaster. We're out here. We're doing our shows and stuff like that. Continue to support, and we will continue to give you amazing music.
Amazing, man. Slim, one last question. We're just about out of time, but I just got to ask you this. I'm apologizing in advance. I'm obligated to ask this question on behalf of the fans, but will there ever be a 112 album or a song or anything together with the original members ever again? In your heart, do you believe there ever will be?
Oh, man. Well, right now, when you start a book, you have to let the book kind of go through its chapters. Right now, we're in the chapters of... Well, you know, we have some little situations where, you know, where I just feel like there's some purging that needs to go on.
Okay.
And then, you know, once you start something, you got to finish it all the way through, good, bad, or ugly. You know what I'm saying? So anybody knows what's going on. You know, everybody knows that was said, and now the truth will come out.
Mm.
And then after the purging of, you know what I'm saying, egos or whatever the situations, then I feel like there a rightful apology needs to be said.
Gotcha.
I'm saying that with sincerity, and I'm saying that with no shade, no nothing. Like, for me, it's like I'm wide open. I'm very, very transparent. Because like I said, you know, if I do something wrong, I own it. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of being not just a great artist, but being a man. You know what I'm saying? Being a great person. Everybody's not perfect, but when you do something wrong and you're in front of everybody, and God blessed us, put us in a position where we are in the public, whether we like it or not. I'm the biggest introvert ever.
Mm.
But I look at it like this. Once you do something, in order to heal, there's accountability. Understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So until those things happen, we'll see.
That's a good answer. We'll take that, man. But hey, man, I want to just thank you for your time, and thank you for keeping the 112 brand going, man. We're real excited to hear this new music that you and Mike have coming. You know, definitely looking forward to it. You got our support always, man. We appreciate you.
Oh, man. Guitar Boy, let's go.
Yeah, shout out to Guitar Boy as well.
Yo, 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 yo. What up, Doctor?
What's up, man?
Love y'all, man. Love y'all so much, man.
Appreciate you, Slim.
Yeah.
tell you I love you. But there's a reason I...
That was Slim from 112.
We appreciate him for joining us. Shout out to Guitar Boy. Shout out to Travis Cherry. Shout out to my guy Kyle in the house as well. Saw a few people I know who came through. If you missed the whole interview, we'll have it on the site. You know, probably the next few days. It'll be on our live for a while too. Appreciate you tuning in. This is Tom from You Know I Got Soul tuning out.